with us this evening. We're going to make a wee start just to our meeting tonight by singing together the hymn number 308 in our hymn book. It's a wonderful hymn of testimony. O happy day that fixed my choice on thee, my Saviour and my God. And may this glowing heart rejoice and tell its raptures all abroad. Happy day, when Jesus washed my sins away. He taught me how to watch and pray and live rejoicing every day. We'll stand as we sing, and let us each one sing it out with all of our hearts.
Oh.
just unite our hearts together in prayer. Let us just look afresh to the Lord tonight, praying that the Lord will draw near, be with us, and be one of our number, even in this prayer meeting. Let us all pray. Our gracious God, our loving, eternal Father in heaven, we come into thy holy and sacred presence tonight, O God. We come to thee in no merit of our own, but Father, we approach thee tonight upon redemption ground. We come to thee through the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who is indeed Jehovah Sekenu, the Lord our righteousness. And O God, we thank thee even for the words of this hymn that we were singing earlier, Lord, in our meeting tonight. And Father, we thank thee that as thy people we can look back to that time and our own experience, that happy day, that blessed day, that day of all days in our life, when thou didst draw us to thyself, even in salvation. And we rejoice, O God, tonight in the forgiveness of sins through the blood of the Lamb. We thank the Lord that thou hast promised thy people, thou hast said, their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. And we thank thee, Heavenly Father, for thy Holy Spirit who dwells within our hearts. We thank thee that thou hast promised the Comforter to abide with thy people forever and ever. And, O God, we thank thee for the wonderful sufficiency of the grace of our God, meeting our needs day by day as thy people. And, Father, we rejoice, O God, tonight in the great hope of life eternal, that great prize that lies before us in heaven's glory as the people of God. And, Lord, we think tonight of the words of the psalmist who could say, "What shall I render unto the Lord for all of his benefits toward me?" And, O God, we thank thee that thy benefits and blessings toward each one of us as the people of God, both temporal and spiritual, are more than can be numbered. And, O God, our prayer is that even by thy grace that thou would help us, O God, to give thee praise, to give thee the adoration of our heart. And, Lord, help us to love thee more and more. Help us, Lord, to die to sin and to self more and more. And help us, Lord, by thy grace and power to live to thine honor and to thy glory. And, Lord, to be a witness, Lord, for thee, to shine for thee, Lord, in this dark world, O God, that even, Lord, by our life and by our testimony, we might be a means of pointing others to the Lord, our Savior. Our Father, we thank thee for all thy mercies to us throughout today already, and for ordering our steps and enabling us, Lord, to gather here tonight in this fashion, in the place where prayer is wont to be made. And we thank thee, Heavenly Father, that thou hast promised to meet with thy people. And thou hast said in thy word that if we draw nigh unto thee, thou said, "I will draw nigh unto you." And Father, we pray that we might know a very gracious, conscious sense of the presence of the Lord with us tonight, from this opening hymn to the last amen. May we know thy reviving power within our hearts, within our souls. May we each one hear and know that speaking voice of God to our hearts, saying, "This is the way, walk ye therein." We thank thee for all who have been able to gather with us tonight. Bless every head bowed before thee, O God. Remember every family and household, O God, that is represented. We pray that thou wilt meet the need of every home and family. Bless our families and our family circles, O God. Do unite them all in the Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, we pray that when the roll is called up yonder, by thy grace and by thy power, that all will be there, that all, O God, will be safely gathered in. Remember, Lord, those that cannot join with us tonight because of age and sickness and infirmity. We pray, Lord, that thou will bless them, that thou, Lord, will minister to them by the grace and by the strength of God. Remember, Lord, those that attend the bed of sickness tonight, be near them and bless them, help them, strengthen them, and encourage them. And may they know that underneath and all around are the everlasting arms of the Savior. Remember others, Lord, in recent times have suffered loss. Give comfort, give strength, give succor, give help, O God, we pray. Again, Lord, we thank thee for the meeting tonight in Tresna and all the boys and girls who come out to hear your word. Lord, speak on to these young lives, O God. And Father, we pray that each and every one of them would be made wise, O God, unto salvation. Again, Lord, we thank thee for thy presence and blessing with this last Lord's day. We thank thee for all who gathered in under the sound of your word.
And Lord, our prayer is that even while man's voice is silent, that thou wilt speak on, especially in the hearts and lives of those that were in morning and evening not saved, and that, Lord, such may be made wise, O God, even unto salvation. Bless other prayer meetings such as this. We think of gospel missions and ministry meetings on at this time. Bless every faithful servant of God, wherever thy word is faithfully preached and proclaimed. We pray that the blessing of God would attend to it, and that, Lord, even tonight there'll be rejoicing in the courts of heaven over sinners coming to know and to trust the Lord for salvation. Undertake for us now, we pray, bless us around thy word, that the word of the Lord have free course among us tonight. Bless it to our hearts. Bless us in our season of prayer. Lord, give help, we pray. And pour upon us the spirit of prayer and grace and supplication, and do our hearts much good tonight, and glorify the Savior and all that will be said and done. Answer prayer, abide with us, cleanse our hearts afresh in the Savior's blood, and do our hearts much good tonight. We pray and we ask all these things for Jesus' sake and glory, giving thee thanks, O God, for all thy many mercies. Amen. Now we're going to turn tonight, please, in God's Word to the New Testament book of Colossians, Colossians chapter number 1. And we're reading just from verse 24 of the chapter, going down to the end of the verse number 29. Colossians chapter 1, beginning a reading at the verse number 24, and go down to the end of the verse number 29. While you're looking it up, we welcome you all tonight in the Lord's great name. It's good to see you all gathered with us here this evening. Pray the Lord will bless you and bless our hearts and souls around God's word and around the throne of grace and prayer. Remember the meetings over the weekend. Pray for them. Children's meeting Friday night, 6:30. Youth fellowship meeting at 8 p.m. And then the services on the Lord's Day, Sunday school and Bible class, 11 a.m. in the morning. Morning worship, 12 noon. And the evening gospel meeting, 7, and the will of the Lord will belong to bring God's word. So pray for the meetings, plan to join with us, and invite and encourage others in under the sound of God's word. Colossians chapter 1, beginning a reading just at the verse 24, here with the Apostle Paul addressing the believers in the church at Colossae, speaking even about his own sufferings as a believer. And in Colossians chapter 1 and verse 4, he says of himself, or verse 24, he says of himself, who now rejoice in my sufferings for you, and fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh for his body's sake, which is the church, whereof I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God, even the mystery which have been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory, whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. Whereunto I also labor, striving according to his working, which worketh in me mightily. Amen. We'll end our reading there at verse 29. And our prayer is that God will bless this reading of his precious word to our hearts. John Wycliffe, the morning star of the Protestant Reformation, speaking about the matter of the Christian serving the Lord, he said, the highest service that man may attain to on earth is to preach the word of God, highlighting the importance of serving the Lord and proclaiming God's word. Again, another famous preacher of a bygone day, speaking of God's Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, he said these words. He said, God had only one Son, and he made him a preacher. And again, emphasizing the importance of proclaiming God's word. And yes, these words of men of God in bygone days, they remind us that there is no greater work for the Christian, no greater work for the Church of Christ and the body of God's people, than that of serving the Lord, and that of spreading and proclaiming the word of God. And in our Bible reading here tonight in Colossians 1, verse 24 to 29, we're given a wonderful insight into the way that Paul himself, the apostle, served the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior while he was here on earth. And by this picture here, this insight into Paul's service, is really a pattern for the Christian to follow. Not only a pattern, but also an encouragement for the believer in their Christian life regarding the matter of serving the Lord. Whenever we think of Paul the Apostle, whenever he was saved on the road to Damascus, really from that point in time to the end of his days on earth, Paul was one who was all out for Christ. The first statement that we read about him in the Bible after he was saved was this: Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And that really was the testimony of his life. It was one of serving the Lord, of doing what he could in his day and generation for the Lord and for the cause of the gospel. Whenever he was writing his letter to the church in the city of Rome, he began that letter with these words. He says, Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ. And that word servant there literally means a bond slave to Christ. In olden times, a bond slave was one who was a servant of his master right to the very end of his earthly days. One who would not leave his master, would not leave the service of his master. Indeed, that is how it was with Paul. He was a bond slave to the Lord Jesus Christ, his Savior, his Redeemer, the one that he owed so much to here on earth. Indeed, whenever Paul himself was writing to God's people in the city of Corinth, he said these particular words. He says, be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Jesus Christ. And there he was encouraging the believers in Corinth to follow his example as he had sought to serve the Lord and to live for the Lord. And might we have record of Paul's life throughout the New Testament, from the book of the Acts right through his pastoral and the epistles that he wrote in the different parts of the Scriptures, telling us of how he served the Lord, how he sought to do what he could for Jesus Christ while he was here on earth. And it's all recorded by God the Holy Ghost so that it might be, as it were, an example to you and I as believers, an encouragement to you and I as believers as we serve the Lord, and that our life might be used for the service of God here on earth. And tonight, as we look just at this account of his service in our reading tonight, there are three things I want you to notice just about Paul here and his service for the Lord. And may it be an encouragement, indeed an example to us as God's people tonight in this prayer meeting. Notice first of all here with me his sufferings in service. And you see reference made to that in verse 24. Here he is speaking about himself to the believers in Colossae. And he says of himself, who now rejoice in my sufferings for you, and fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh, for his body's sake, which is the church. You'll notice there that he refers to sufferings in the plural. He refers to afflictions in his flesh. And again, the emphasis is that these afflictions were in the plural. Here Paul, as he writes, he tells the Colossian believers of his willingness to suffer as a Christian in his service for God for them. And that's really what he was telling them here, of a willingness in his life to suffer as a Christian as he served the Lord and especially sought to minister amongst them. And that really shows us that the sufferings, yes, is often the lot of the believer and the Christian and his and her service and witness for Christ. If we just turn back a page or two in our Bibles to Philippians chapter 1, and verse number 29, we see reference made to this very fact. It says, for unto you it is given on the behalf of Christ not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for his sake. Note the words there, to suffer for his sake. And Christian, in the meeting tonight, let me say this, that if suffering comes your way as a believer in the Lord, as you witness and serve the Lord, don't count it a strange thing. We're not to think upon it as something strange. No. The Lord says to you and I in this world, he says, ye shall have tribulation. And in the case here of Paul, there were really three reasons in particular for his sufferings on this occasion that he speaks and he highlights and mentions in Colossians 1, verse 24. You'll see that it was for the benefit of the church, for the good of the church there at Colossae. Look at what he says right at the very end of verse number 24. He says of the afflictions of Christ, he says, in my flesh. Notice the words, for his body's sake, which is the church. And here we see that his sufferings were for the good of the church in Colossae and for the good of the church in Asia Minor at that time. Through his sufferings, there was a spreading of the gospel through different places throughout Asia Minor in the life of the Apostle Paul. Then there was another reason for his sufferings as well. That was that he himself would be conformed more and more to the image of Christ in his own life. And again, you see reference made to that in the middle part of verse number 24 of Colossians chapter 1 there, where he says, and fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh. And that really means, yes, that through sufferings, there was that conforming more and more in Paul's life to the image of Christ. Remember, Christ himself is the man of sorrows. And by these troubles and trials and afflictions that came upon Paul, he himself as a believer, as a Christian, was being conformed more and more to the image of Christ. And then there was another reason as well for his sufferings. And that was that his fellowship with Christ would increase and would become stronger in his life. If you notice how he begins verse 24 of the chapter there, he says, who now rejoice in my sufferings, for he was suffering. He was afflicted, but he speaks here of joy. He says, who now rejoice, he says, in my sufferings for you. And why did he rejoice? Why there was this joy and jubilation in his soul when he was going through a time of trial and adversity? It was because he knew the Lord's presence very near him. He knew the fellowship of the sufferings of Christ. He knew the Lord drawing very near to him as a child of God and his sufferings. Thus he could rejoice. Turn back to Philippians chapter 3 and the verse number 10, and you'll see how he makes mention of this. This was a desire of his heart. As he writes to the believers in Philippi, in Philippians 3 verse 10, he speaks of the Lord. And it is estimated here that Paul at this point in time had been saved for some 30 years. And no doubt he had known great blessing in his life and was coming maybe near the end of life's journey. And then he speaks here of the Lord to the believers at Philippi in Philippians 3 verse 10. He says, that I might know him. He wanted to know more of Christ and the power of his resurrection. He wanted to know more of God's power in his life. And then he says, and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable, he says, unto his death. And my Paul here could joy and he could rejoice as he writes here to the believers in Colossae, even in his afflictions and his sufferings. Why? Because he knew the Lord drawing very near to him. And there was that joy in his heart, that joy unspeakable and full of glory. And dear believer in Christ in the meeting tonight, yes, also you and I also, we face sufferings as believers in our service for God, really for the same reasons. Yes, for the benefit of the church of Christ. It has often been said that the blood of the martyrs is the seed of the church. Read the history of the Reformation, the Covenanters, and other times of great persecution amongst God's people. Yes, there was persecution. There's people who sealed their lives even unto death, but it was a time when God's work advanced, it prospered, it grew, it spread. And that has often been the case when the Church of Christ is persecuted for our faith. There's a growing and advancing and increasing. We think of our own church and our own denomination in the early days, in the 1960s and the early 70s, there was much persecution of God's people who identified with the work of the Free Presbyterian Church. But that persecution did not hinder the witness of the church. Man, it really was used of God to spread its witness further and further. How we're not to be discouraged when we face opposition from the ungodly and are even being persecuted for our faith, because God uses it. And my, he turns the works of the devil against himself, and he uses it, God uses it, to further and spread his cause of the gospel. Yes, sufferings come our way to spread the work of God, to increase his work, but also that we ourselves personally as believers will be conformed in our lives more and more to Christ, that work of sanctification would be strengthened in our lives day by day more and more as the people of God. Turn with me over to 1 Peter chapter 1 and the verse number 7. 1 Peter chapter 1 and the verse number 7. Look at what it says here. Peter writes to God's people, and he says that the trial of your faith being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. There we're told that the trial of our faith, our afflictions, our sufferings, is for the purifying of our faith, to cause us to be more like Christ as God's people here on earth. And then there's another reason as well why sufferings come our way as Christians, and that is that we might know more fellowship with Christ here on earth, that we might be drawn closer to the Lord our Savior. And you know, that's one of the wonderful blessings of the Christian life. And the time of trial and the time of adversity, the Lord does not desert his people, no. The Lord draws near, and draws near to his people in the time of trouble and in the time of trial. Turn with me back to Psalm 46 and look at how that great psalm begins, and it reminds us really of this great truth that the Lord draws near to his people in the trial. Psalm 46 verse 1, it says, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Look at verse 5 of the psalm, speaking again of the church of Christ in the time of adversity and trial. It says, God is in the midst of her, she shall not be moved, and God shall help her, and that right early. And the Lord draws near in a very particular way to his people when they suffer, when they're in trials and afflictions. Helen Roosevelt was a missionary to the land of Congo during the 1960s. And during the rebellion, the uprising there in Congo, she was taken prisoner in 1964 by the rebels in that country. Some 5.5 months. And during that time of captivity, she suffered terribly from her captives. She was tortured. She suffered awful brutality from her captors. You know, years later, testifying of that experience, she spoke of the Lord drawing very near to her in a very special, particular, gracious sense of the Lord's presence with her in that time of deep, deep trial in her life. The Lord was near to her in a time of great need, indeed a time of great danger. Again, you think tonight of the two grieving disciples on the road to Emmaus. What does it say to us about Christ? It says, Jesus himself drew near, and he went with them. He drew very near to them. Again, you think of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego when they were cast into the fiery furnace. What happened to them? The Lord came near. The Lord was with them in the fiery furnace, and the king, as he looked into it, he saw four men loose walking in the midst of the fire, and he says, the form of the fourth is like unto the Son of God. The Lord was with them in the fire, in the time of sufferings. Yes, we see here Paul's sufferings in his service. But notice secondly here, notice the message of Paul in his service. What was his message? Well, he makes reference to that in verse 25 of the chapter 1 of Colossians. He says, whereof I am made a minister, he says, according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God. And here Paul was telling the Colossian believers of his readiness to speak the good news of the gospel. He says, whereof I made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God. And there was that readiness to spread the gospel, to spread the good news of the Word of God, to proclaim the Word of God. This was the ministry that was given to Paul. And in our service for God, dear people, yes, we are to be ready to spread the gospel. Remember again what Paul said to the believers at Rome. He says, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. We are to be ever ready to proclaim the gospel. The Lord says to his disciples, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Yes, serving the Lord involves us, yes, preaching, spreading God's word fully and faithfully. Notice again what Paul says there at the end of verse 25. He says, to fulfill, he says, the word of God. And if you've got a Bible with a central margin, you'll see that those final words literally can be translated to fully to preach the word, to preach God's word fully and faithfully. And that reminds us, people of God, in all our service, we are to do all we can to present God's word and the truths of God's word. Paul said to Timothy, preach the word, be instant in season, out of season. Christ says, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Yes, Paul in his service for God was to preach the gospel. It meant him taking the gospel, the word of God, to all people, to all kinds of people. Look at what he says there in verse number 27 and verse 28 of the chapter. He says, to whom God would make known, he says, what is the riches of the glory of this mystery? That's the gospel he was talking about that had been revealed unto him. Notice it, among the Gentiles. And then in verse 28 he says, of Christ, whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. Notice the reference there to the Gentile people. Verse 27, and the reference there to every man. My Paul did not miss an opportunity to take the gospel to Jew and to Gentile alike, to those who were the common people of society and to those who were high in society. And that reminds us, people, that the gospel is for all the world. It's for all peoples. It's for children. It's for boys and girls. It's for young people. It's for adults, it's for Protestants, it's for Roman Catholics, it's for Muslims, Hindus, black, white, whatever color or creed or class or nationality of people. The gospel is given by God to be proclaimed to all peoples and all kinds of peoples. You remember the four hungry lepers in Samaria when they found the food and there was starvation and there was famine. They said, we do not well, this day is a day of glad tidings, and we hold our peace. They knew it would have been wrong and remiss of them if they had it held back when others were starving and perishing and hadn't told the others that there was food and provision for them. And likewise, dear people of God, we are not to hold our peace, so to speak, when it comes to the gospel. Rather, we are to be diligent. We are to be urgent. Getting the gospel out to dying souls, to perishing souls, to lost souls. Yes, Paul's service, it involved him presenting the word of God faithfully, preaching the gospel to all kinds of people, Jew and Gentile alike. It involved him presenting Christ and warning the people about sin. Again, you see that in verse 28 of the chapter, speaking of Christ, he says, whom we preach. And another part of the scripture said, we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord. He preached Christ. And then it says, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom. He preached Christ and he proclaimed Christ, his person, his work, his glory. And he warned people about sin. And people, that's our responsibility as well as believers, as a church it is to preach Christ, to proclaim Christ. We're not here to preach ourselves or the teachings of men, no. But to preach Christ, to proclaim Christ, and to warn people about sin and the awful consequences of sin, what sin does, what sin leads to. How important it is that we do that in our witnessing and in our service for God. that we present Christ and that we warn people, young and old alike, of the awful consequences of sin, what sin does, what sin leads to. Notice one final thought here in Paul's service. Notice his strength for his service. And you see reference made to that in verse number 29 of the chapter, where he says, "Whereunto I also labor, striving according to his working, which worketh in me mightily." When we think of Paul tonight, yes, we can say he served God with every fiber of his being. That word labor there in verse 29 literally means to be wearied to the point of exhaustion. In other words, to agonize, to toil, even as an athlete would toil and strain, as it were, in running a race toward the finish line of the race. Paul, yes, was one who expounded tremendous energy for God in his service for the Lord. And the strength of that labor did not come from himself. It did not come from man, but it came from God. Notice what he says, "Whereunto I also labor, striving," he says, "according to his," referring to the Lord, "his working, which worketh in me mightily." The strength that he received for serving the Lord, it did not come from himself, it came from the Lord. He received grace and strength and help from the Lord. Turn back to 1 Corinthians 15 and the verse number 10. Look at what he says there. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 10. He says, "But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain. But I labored more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me." It was all due to the grace of God. He said, "I am what I am by the grace of God." And child of God, take encouragement from this tonight, because the same strength of the Lord that was for Paul in his day and his service for God, that same strength is still available, still the same for you and I today as believers, as we serve the Lord. Yes, Christ is with us as our strength. Notice how Paul refers to that very specifically and very definitely as he addresses God's people at the end of verse 27 of Colossians 1. He says, "Christ in you," he says, "the hope of glory." And the Lord is with us as our strength in our service for God. And yes, the Lord calls us to work. He commands us to work. He says, "Son, go work today in my vineyard." But in our service for him, he promises to be with us. And he promises to strengthen us, even as he strengthened the Apostle Paul. The Bible says, "As your days, so shall your strength be." And believer, whatever God gives you to do and calls you to do and gives you opportunity to do and a time to do that thing for God, God will give you all the grace, all the strength, all the help you need. Turn with me back to the little book of Haggai, little prophecy of Haggai in the Old Testament. And you come to the book of Micah, then you come to Nahum and Habakkuk and Zephaniah, and then you come to the little book of Haggai. And look with me, please, at Haggai chapter 2 and the verse number 4. And here, believer, you have a wonderful promise and a wonderful encouragement to serve the Lord in your life, in your home, in your workplace, through God's work here, wherever else the Lord leads you in his will. But look at Haggai chapter 2, verse 4. It says, "Yet now be strong, O Zerubbabel, saith the Lord, and be strong, O Joshua, son of Jehozadak, the high priest, and be strong." Notice it, "all ye people of the land, saith the Lord, and work, for I am with you, saith the Lord of hosts." And believer, the message here to you and I tonight is this. The Lord says, "Be strong and work, for I am with you, saith the Lord of hosts." What a promise, what an encouragement to serve the Lord and to live for him, to do what we can until the Lord Jesus Christ comes or calls us home to glory. May God bless his word and write these thoughts upon our hearts and our souls this evening. Just before we get down to prayer, maybe turn again, please, to our hymn sheet. We'll sing our second hymn tonight. It's 509 in our own hymn book. A great hymn about the service of the Lord. The hymn writer says, I love my Master. I will not go out free, for he is my Redeemer. He paid the price for me. I would not leave his service. It is so sweet and blessed. And in the weariest moments, he gives the truest rest. Wonderful words to encourage us and to spur us on in our work and witness for the Savior. We'll stand again as we sing, as the organist leads us, and singing it out with all of our hearts. Just get down to our season of prayer. Encourage as many as possible tonight to pray, men and women, young and old alike. Let there be no gaps, and let us pray one with another and one for another. Let us seek the Lord and pour out our hearts before him, and the Lord will give you help and strength and blessing as we seek the Lord and call upon his name. Remember, please, the services over the weekend, pray for them, the youth, the Sunday school, the Bible class, the Lord's Day meetings, remember the children's meetings, pray for them. It's Thursday night in McGuire's Bridge, Friday night here amongst the boys and girls. Remember the online ministry, the literature ministry. Remember the ladies' meeting as well, commencing in a few weeks' time. Much in prayer for that. And remember also the convention in your prayers and the mission coming up later on. Let us be praying for this so the Lord would prepare the ground for those times as well. Remember our missionaries as well at home and abroad. Maybe you could remember the works in Scotland, the Reverend Irwin up in Rutherglen, and the Reverend Laverty in Gardenstown. Small works, but they've been faithful there. God's people for many, many years. Pray the Lord will strengthen their hand in God and encourage them in himself. Remember the sick and the afflicted in your prayers. Be much in prayer for them. Remember the Dean family especially as they tend the bedside of their mother at this time. Remember them especially to know the Lord drawing near and his comfort and grace and strength at this time. But we encourage as many as possible to pray and to seek the Lord and to call upon
the Lord's name. Maybe we'd ask our brother Stanley to lead us off in prayer, one off the other, then maybe a brother, Mr. Raymond Medill as well, and then one off the others, the Lord would lead us, a brother Stanley, and then a brother Raymond Medill, and then one off the other as the Lord leads us in the time that is left. Thank you.